What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, we're live. It's August 17th. 2021, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, bringing on my co-host, Future Dan. How you doing there, buddy?
Good. We got the 150th episode, don't we?
It is episode 150. That's actually quite the big milestone. Really snuck up on me. I guess I should have known last week was episode 149, but episode 150, very big milestone, so pat on the back for you and I. Keep grinding, though.
We've talked on a podcast for 150 separate weeks at this point since 2017. And we're going to do it again tonight.
And I think this is going to be one of the, you know, and this goes hand in hand to what we were just talking about at the end of episode 149. And really kind of began back on 148 when I stated I felt this fall a lot of crazy stuff would hit the fan. We're seeing a lot of that stuff start to play out, whether it's the inflation and whether it's COVID and forced vaccinations, etc. But this whole thing in Afghanistan over the past few days, that didn't come out of left field. But, I mean, that is something that, you know, a week ago was not necessarily on the radar and is now, of course, plastered everywhere. We, of course, are going to go through the entire news blitz tonight because there's so many other important things going on. You got to look at what the left hand's doing when everybody's talking about the right hand. But I do want to start the show talking about what happened in Afghanistan and just getting your overall take from both a tactical, strategic, as well as geopolitical point of view. What happened?
Well, you know, that civilization reverted to the mean. That's what happened. It's sort of a triumph in modern arms that we could project that much power for that long, 20 years, and like taking the thumb of Uncle Sam and pressing it into Central Asia completely by air and doing it for 20 years. But eventually, if you take your thumb off of it, it's going to return to exactly what it was after the Soviets left and after the British left and after anybody else who tried to be there for any amount of time left. Right. So it's Afghanistan and a lot of finger pointing going on right now. A lot of disappointment from veterans who fought there.
Oh yeah,
absolutely deserved to be disappointed, but it was a triumph that it was possible to show up there and kick everybody's ass as hard as needed to be to exterminate the threat that, you know, was there in 2001, whether manipulated or not by other intelligence agencies. Obviously, it was a terrorist state in 2001, and my opposition to the whole approach had always been, you know, not treating it like an attrition warfare that it could have and should have been. But it's hard to do, right? You know, clearing out insurgents in the mountains and keeping them cleared out is a massive effort. And we haven't risen to any kind of effort like that since World War II. So it is what it is. It's collapsing like it normally would have. And it's surreal, right? Set Taliban are riding, you know, working out in gyms and riding amusement park rides, bumper cars on social media as they take back over the capital 20 years later after falling to the Northern Alliance thereabouts. And the scenes at the airport are horrible, right? You know, it's shockingly out there and recorded compared to the fall of Saigon, and it looks exactly the same.
Something that came to mind that I haven't heard anyone else say, maybe the parallels aren't that strong, but let me pass it by. It was, what about, and it goes, I think it goes hand in hand with you saying them reverting to the mean, or a lot of them welcoming the Taliban back in. It's kind of like the Vichy French. And this goes with what Biden was saying, 300,000 well-trained and armed Afghanis that'll fight back if the Taliban tries to attack. None of them tried to fight back. We didn't blow the hell out of them with air support like maybe we should have. I want to hear your thoughts on that. But, I mean, they, either their leadership or maybe even the rank and file decided not to fight back. So, anyway, our nation building very much failed. And, you know, the retreat was horribly botched as well. I was... such a quagmire, and I definitely was not a fan of being in there, but pulling out like that is just horrible for so many reasons. So, I mean, what do you think about that, though? I mean, it's just, there's a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of angles to it, but I want to hear some more.
Do you think we nation-built Germany?
Yeah, no, we did. I mean, to some degree, we gave them power back, but they all have to abide by the Federal Reserve currency now. As payback for building them back. Yeah, Japan, even more so, almost. They're definitely subservient
and the
to the U.S.
Right? Reconstructed the Confederacy. Abolished it.
There's always,
triumphed over it, right?
Nothing's for free, for sure. If you get rebuilt, there comes with strings, I guess, is what I'd say.
Right, but we did it to the South. We did it to Germany. We did it to Japan. Did it to all the other, Italy, the Axis powers that fell. That didn't fall into communism. I mean, it's been done before. It just has to be a lot more violent to work.
And or the people have to want to do it too. And obviously the Afghanis didn't want to fight back against the Taliban.
No. At the end of Japan, after firebombing Japan and Germany, it wasn't a matter of that. There wasn't
many people left. Sure. That's true. I give you that. Well, it's a different kind of warfare. Sure.
The type of warfare we practiced was relatively humane and secured the territory while, you know, setting historical records on minimizing casualties, if you want to be, you know, accurate about it. And on both sides, because, you know, look at the loss exchange ratios in World War II. I mean, a lot more Afghans could have died if you wanted to nation build it into something that would endure. And South Korea as well. You know, Korean War, lots and lots of people died to get it that way. Yeah, I mean, it's not something to be taken lightly, but it is not the same accomplishment as those other places where we occupy today to keep them, you know, from becoming tyrannies again. But Afghanistan's definitely going back to tribal tyrannies that it's always been, and it's not at the heart of what's dangerous to us these days. So we got one headline in the next segment that, you know, touches upon this, but there's certainly no, you know, indicator on future danger of losing expeditionary wars in Asia as a dangerous indicator. It's not the thing that concerns me. Most of it's at home.
Oh, I was about to say, there's many other issues going on that are much worse, number one. Number two, the impact of this will be in different ways, not just, oh, like you said, it's not that they lost the war per se, because no, they didn't overrun the U.S. forces, they just withdrew. But Biden did it on purpose, right? I mean, he let them overrun. Why didn't he lure the Taliban in, carpet bomb the hell out of them, as the final goodbye. I don't know. Maybe that would have looked bad. You know, I'm not a military man, but that retreat was totally botched and pathetic, wasn't it?
Well, it's going to happen when they stopped the airstrikes, really, in support of the Taliban. And the Pentagon spokesman yesterday, Kirby, said, you know, a drawdown is a drawdown. It means the air assets aren't there anymore. Like, they were pulling all the way out.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'd think they'd give them a few weeks to get out of Dodge, not 2 days. But it is what it is. I mean, you were telling me, tell the audience, by the way, Prepper Broadcasting Network. Go to PrepperBroadcastingNetwork.com. Tell the audience who was one of those that escaped. I didn't really know this. I had seen a headline, but I didn't make the connection. Who were the type of folks that got out just in time?
Bankers. I know of them so far. It's chaos. There's got to be a lot to be said about how things happened, how the C-17 took off with people in the wheel well and killed them. You know, they had them stuck inside the planes, falling off the planes. That happened. No, you know, no control whatsoever. The Afghan forces at the airport must have disappeared, which probably doesn't surprise very many vets who serve there.
I guess not. They probably wouldn't have trusted their lives with them. Looks like that would have been correct. But yeah, the central banker of Afghanistan was out on one of those. Now, I don't think he got first class seating. He's probably packed in there with everyone else. So maybe.
They're putting 800 on a C-17.
Yeah.
800 people. They're setting records.
Women and children and central banksters. Women and children and central banksters. That's who's on. All right, buddy. Hey, we're about ready to go to break here.
It's a Kabul airlift going on tonight. Kabul airlift 2021.
Oh, yeah. It continues. It's not over yet. Absolutely. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but we got a wide swath of other news as well. So, folks, stick with us. Episode 150, Patriot Power Hour, PrepperBroadcasting.com. And listen to a couple of our sponsors. We'll be right back with the News Blitz. Stick with us.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the National Disaster Relief Effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back. It's time for the News Blitz. We're going to power right through this August 17th, 2021. FutureDanger.com, follow along. Let's get rolling. to claim, quote, pandemic of unvaccinated, unquote, CDC used hospitalization and mortality data from when vast majority of Americans could not access shots. The DEA sees an innocent man's life savings without charging him with a crime. T-Mobile hacked for names and social security numbers of 100 million customers. Home addresses stolen. Biden administration approves the largest increase to food stamps in history. In the second half of the show, I'll be talking a little bit about some debt. Talk about that, all these liabilities. But moving on, DHS advisory labels critics of COVID mandates and vote fraud as terrorists. So if you are a critic of COVID mandates and or vote fraud, guess what? You may be a terrorist. Israeli missiles strike Hezbollah post in Syria. China building third missile field for hundreds of new ICBMs. Chinese state media outlet says U.S. will, quote, abandon Taiwan like Afghanistan. I definitely want to get future Dan's take on that. I think it's a totally different situation. But Chinese state media outlet is at least trying to push the propaganda that the U.S. will do just what they did in Afghanistan, in Taiwan, once a war breaks out. Not if. They use the once a war breaks out. Meanwhile, Chinese electronic intelligence plane enters Taiwanese air defense identification zone. Taiwan then scrambles fighter jets after six additional Chinese warplanes enter the air defense identification zone. Homeland Security Secretary announces 212,672 illegal alien encounters in July. Surreal, but just that's such a large number in 1 month. 212,000 illegal alien encounters in July. Moving on, economics. World's third busiest port remains partially shut in China from COVID for the sixth consecutive day. Severe thunderstorms cause historic power outage across Michigan. Meanwhile, California Electric Utility warns it may black out customers to reduce wildfire risks. Senate okays more than $4 trillion, that's with a T, $4 trillion of spending in less than 24 hours. Now, it still says 124% federal debt to GDP. I looked it up. In 2 weeks, they will be releasing the Q2 numbers. I'm really interested to see what the new debt numbers are, but we're still in the red zone. And that is a bad term when you're talking about debt. But we'll have some new numbers here in a couple weeks. Really looking forward to that. In the meanwhile, though, we do have some newer inflation numbers. It's in the red zone, 2.34% quarterly, but we're seeing other metrics nearly double digits. In particular, producer price inflation up 7.8%. Generally, the producers experience inflation and then pass it on to the consumers. We'll see if that happens. Inflation may not have even begun if that's true. Inflation pressure never seen before across the entire food chain. There's an article you can check out. Price of food at home changed over the last 30 days. Looks pretty benign. But as these numbers start to pile up, it's a little different story. Moving on, final column. Pfizer vaccine only 42% effective against COVID infection in July. Iceland has one of the planet's most vaccinated population, and there's a surge of COVID-19 positives. They admit almost all of the people that have COVID-19 in this surge are vaccinated. But you still got to get your vaccination. In Los Angeles, Officials are voting to create vaccination requirement indoors. Congress attempting to ban unvaccinated Americans from flying. There's a bill that's been introduced. HHS, third federal department to mandate COVID-19 shot for employees. FDA to authorize COVID booster shots once it formally approves vaccines. Pregnant mom not seen by doctor because she is unvaccinated. Some other natural and health news that's not necessarily COVID related, although we still have some more of that, but let's keep moving on. Toxic metals seeping into our bones. Modern tech may be making it worse in many different ways. Go check out that article. IQ scores of children born during the COVID pandemic dropped 22 points from the average of previous cohorts. Sad to say, there's going to be a lot of case studies on the sociological, psychological, and economic damage of COVID. Colorado River hitting critical low levels. Looks like we just got an update here on Future Danger. Let it reload. Sorry there. Three Alaskan volcanoes have been erupting simultaneously for 2 weeks. To finish up on that Colorado River water shortage, mandatory water cuts are coming. And by the way, some of the hydroelectric power plants in the West, if they get too low on water, the power goes out. They'll be out of water and power. Double whammy. Earthquakes, seeing that really tick up. 7.5 earthquake hit South Sandwich Islands region. 7.2 magnitude earthquake rocks Haiti. Hundreds dead, lots of damage. Temperatures soar as Washington and Oregon baked by another major heat wave. There's fires out there. Got to be prepared for what your region faces, hurricanes, fires, or otherwise. Danish WHO chief says the COVID patient zero was likely Wuhan lab worker. No longer the bat soup, apparently, that they were saying 18 months ago. New tropical disease kills two in the U.S. And with that, let me bring Future Dan back on. That was your News Blitz, Future Dan. I tried to be pithy, but there was a lot of meat to that. We got another half hour, but we're running low on this segment. Still, I want to give you at least 2 minutes to respond or cover, you know, try to hit on what you thought was key there.
Yeah, it's a diverse set of threats we face, isn't it? There's no real theme among them. There's no way to weave much together. I can't tell. I mean, the economics kind of aligns and heads in its own ominous direction, but the rest of the stuff is, some of it's hanging over from previous weeks. The Middle East situation lingers on. That's the first Israeli strike since Hezbollah put rockets into Israel after the dust up in the Gulf, which was, you know, didn't get widely reported afterwards what may or may not right. have happened in the Persian Gulf a few
right.
weeks ago.
True.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm sort of at a loss to summarize it a lot better than that. What's your take?
No, first and foremost, there's so much going on, and that's what could come out of left field. You always got to be ready and prepping for that, number one. Number two, I'm seeing the continued march on all these topics. There's not much that we talked about here or that I listed in the News Blitz that we haven't seen in the past. It's just a continuation or a general worsening of conditions, whether it's the vaccines going from heavily recommended to mandated to now potentially booster shots, to the inflation aspect just continuing to grow and build and build, to the water crisis, even the water crisis. And that's just continued to be a thorn in the side people have talked about for really years and years. But It's only getting worse every day. It's not getting better. All of these by themselves could be overcome, perhaps, but so many of these, if one or two of them hits the fan, I think a lot of others will be triggered. I always think the economics will kind of be the central spoke involved in all of these, but I agree. It is a very disparate set, but that's why we cover so many different topics on Patriot Power Hour, because you got to keep your head on a swivel. There's so many things going on.
Yeah, but in the big picture, the thermometer is lukewarm, dangerous, and Afghanistan just is so emotional now. But at the end of the day, it doesn't change the strategic situation a lot. Of course, China was going to say what they said and exercise aircraft and warships near Taiwan just to make that point. I'm not entirely certain how many Taiwanese soldiers and airmen and sailors are, would believe that they wouldn't have to fight themselves anyways, right? There's only going to be one short and pretty dangerous fight for Taiwan if it came to it. But there's no reason necessarily to think that China could just do it automatically. There's a lot of high technology aligned against them, so long as they got the order to, our forces got the order to defend Taiwan.
Well, that might be the biggest question or concern. Than ever before. Yeah, no, exactly. That might be the biggest concern or question. I know NBC guy was talking about that. Carl B had a great show. He really was one of the first that I had heard connecting what Biden said a few weeks ago about how the well-trained, well-armed forces. Carl B, almost immediately when this popped off a few days ago, if you haven't heard that, it was a milestone show, really chilling and sad. But anyway, guys, break is here. The second half of the Patriot Power Hour will be back. Stick with us.
Millions of Americans are still not protected against COVID-19. And we are seeing more infections among those who are unvaccinated. I issued a Surgeon General's advisory on the dangers of health misinformation. Surgeon General advisories are reserved for urgent public health threats. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health. Health misinformation is false, inaccurate, or misleading information about health. The bass and the tweeters make the speakers go to war. Misinformation takes away our freedom. The mighty trumpet brings the freaks out to the floor. Misinformation has led people to resist wearing masks. Tell me where the freaks at. What we call disinformation. We need an all-of-society approach. Checking sources before they share. Tell me where the freak's at. If you're not sure, don't share. Today, the Rockefeller Foundation is announcing a $13.5 million commitment. This is just the beginning. We expect more from our technology companies. Take action against misinformation super spreaders. Bringing individuals and organizations together. Let the leaders lead, preachers preach, welcome to the service. Nearly every death we are seeing now from COVID-19 could have been prevented. Did we do this for a purpose just to keep that fire burning? Kids are depending on all of us to get vaccinated. More and more patients with COVID-19 who never got vaccinated because they were misled by misinformation. Healthier information environment. There is disinformation that is coming from bad actors. Not sharing is caring. Misinformation literally costing us our loved ones. Technology companies have a particularly important role. Much, much more has to be done, and we can't wait. It's costing people their lives.
Tell me where the freaks at.
We are in regular touch with these social media platforms. We've increased disinformation research and tracking. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook. So we're helping get trusted content out there. COVID community court. Robust enforcement strategy. Information travels quite quickly on social media platforms. The information spreads too quickly. We have empowered, engaged, funded local voices to combat misinformation that's traveling online or traveling, unfortunately, out of the mouths of elected officials.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, we're back. August 17th, 2021, episode 150. Future Dan, we did it, but we don't have too much time to celebrate. Just so much news, and before we know it, it'll be over. We got to make way for next generation. You know, this past weekend, I spent some time going to listen to the archives of the Next Generation and a couple other shows here on Prepper Broadcasting, in particular the Bartering Basics and the Vehicular Preparedness. And there's a couple other shows for Next Generation that I listen to. So I try to listen to a lot of the shows in real time, but sometimes I miss it and I just store them up for when I have like a lot of yard work or chores or even prepping. I love listening to Intrepid Commander. Recent show while I was putting together some preps in my garage the other day. So anyway, that's what I love about this network. We got live shows that you can catch either live. We, of course, 8 p.m. Eastern, but we can check out archives and we can listen to them even months down the road. I went back several months and picked up a couple of Dane D's Gunmetal Armory. So anyway, little plug for the network, Future Dan. A lot of really cool stuff out there. Hosts are kicking butt. And, you know, I feel like everything everyone's done so far, the first 150 episodes ourselves, but everybody else's work as well, is kind of just to prepare for what's going to happen in the future. Like, we've gone through a few innings, maybe a warm-up first quarter, but the big fight is ahead.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dane, which reminded me of our episode recently discussing AK-47s, which we had the opportunity to have Dane on and discuss the outcome of our exercise last month to just do our own prepping a little bit and see where we were at for the ability to bug out all in the archives. Check them out if you haven't caught that. But you've upgraded your AK since. Are you interested in exploring? Because we fully explored what happened to your AK. What have you done to correct the problem?
All right. I believe I identified the source. Partially, I had a feeling I knew what it was, but Dane also helped put some light on it. I think that I did not have the dust cover fully seated. And if you know about the AK, it has a little button on the back. It was not fully set. It wasn't depressed all the way where the dust cover would pop off, but it was only partially in there, is my thought. and a couple shots, all of a sudden, it bent the dust cover because it wasn't properly seated in. Bam, that thing popped right off. So that's what I believe happened. What I did was said, you know, let's turn lemons into lemonade. I was pretty despondent after this happened, let me tell you. But I said, well, first off, I can still shoot my AK without a dust cover. So if someone tries, you know, a gang of people come and try to take my house down, I could still use it in an emergency. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to not only get a new dust cover and replace it, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to add a new pistol grip, add a new foregrip, and add an AK side mount, AK-style side mount, as well as a little red dot optic, Romero by Sig Sauer. It was only about $130, $140. You could even get it $10, $20 cheaper on big sales, I think, during like Cyber Monday or whatever. But long story short, a good deal overall. About $400, and I was able to not just fix the dust cover, but turn just an kind of a crappy old AK with iron sights into one that now has a nice pistol grip. The other one was poor quality. It now has a foregrip. Previously had no foregrip at all. It would get hot from that barrel real quick if you're holding that thing, number one. But number two, it's just got so much better control now. And the optic. I haven't gotten to shoot it yet. I'm going to hopefully in the next couple weeks. I just put this all together in the last few days, or I guess the last week or so. Anyway, though, I'm very excited to go shoot it, but I also am in the market for some other firearms. I thought it was pretty funny. Guess what? The Taliban was trading out their AKs for made-in-American M4s and belt-fed weapons. So, you know, I definitely got my AK. I upgraded it, but I'm also in the – I think I'm like AR-10 is maybe what I'm looking for. Maybe just – I'll just stick with the good old AR-15. I'd like to get a shotgun as well. So, anyway, get this. Keep exercising that Second Amendment right, folks, while we still got it, you know?
Yeah, the news report today – from Reuters or AP, one of them, is that the AKs are getting left wherever the Taliban leaves the weapons they're not currently using, and is upgrading to leftover equipment left to the Afghan National Army that walked away. I don't know if there'll be a bloodbath that we're talking about this time next week, if the Taliban isn't what it used to be or is going to behave differently. It's going to be interesting to see, but a lot of people just hear those words and remember that they were beheading people in stadiums in, you know, in the few years ahead of September 11th. So all a sideshow, ultimately, right? All a sideshow. What's going on economically that's, you know, looking any different to you this week?
Well, I agree. This has been something that's been baking for 20 years. If now all of a sudden everyone wants to talk about it and be righteous about it, where were you last week, last year, 10 years ago? But from an economic point of view, I almost feel the same way. And there was an article. I don't have it in front of me, but it was actually just some blog. And they stated, don't be part of the financial. Now, don't be on the tarmac when the financial crisis hits, meaning it's way better to hedge and protect yourself, or in this case, get out of town or never go to Afghanistan in the first place, than being 1 minute late in your evacuation, being on the tarmac, literally grab it on. And it's sad. It's really sad. Unfortunately, it kind of reminds me of people, I don't know, jumping out of World Trade Center or something like they know they're gonna get executed by the Taliban. They'd rather try to ride the plane. I don't know. Maybe they just don't know how airplanes work. But it's just a sad situation overall. And from an economic point of view, it's similar. Where it's not if everything hits the fan economically, it's not just it is gonna happen kind of overnight. First off. But on the other hand, it's been building for years and years and years, and all the warning signs are there. And kind of in the first part of this show, you talked about how the U.S. military put its thumb into Central Asia and was able to have some sort of order, right? And without that thumb and pressure, it instantly collapsed, right? Well, I feel it's the same way with the Federal Reserve and all the other bankster organizations out there with all their stimulus and printing and bailouts. If and when that ever fails, I mean, it's going to be Armageddon financially, which is going to lead to just so many other problems. So don't think you're going to get on that last flight out of your 401k or that last flight out to get your money out of the bank, et cetera, or your business. You're not going to get any more stimulus bailouts at some point. It's just going to – the old adage. I'll leave it at this. The old adage. How did you go bankrupt? Slowly and then – very quickly. You know, it's a long, insidious problem that rots and rots and rots. But then, very quickly at the end, it all goes down. And that's what Future Danger in the show's about, not getting caught with your pants down like that.
Absolutely. We're trying to see it coming. 2 weeks ago, episode 148, you said you see Bad Moon on the rise this fall. And Afghanistan and all the emotions that invokes and all the airtime it will demand on the Fox News audience, is it a cover, a camouflage for something else coming along? Meanwhile, you know, three quarters of the country is just embroiled in the vaccine wars, right? On one side or the other. And we are, there's a window of opportunity for the central banking authorities to do something in instant response to another crash. Inflation, that figure you read last segment, you know, 7.8% since last July in producer prices, it has to have already shown up in our prices, right? By the time we hear about the statistic, it's been passed along to consumers. So, I mean, how high can that go before people are in real dire need? A lot of people could be close to poverty and starvation real fast if inflation continues like that, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of people already are at their wits' end, but they're getting food stamps. They're getting some of these stimulus checks. And we don't see literal bread lines around the block like we did in the Great Depression, et cetera, because everyone does it electronically, especially with the COVID lockdown. It's almost goes hand in hand. They can cover up economic collapse as it happens in front of us. Now, on the flip side, people,
you're right.
Oh, they're able to cover so much, but there are many pieces of evidence where it's coming through, like the homeless problem. And Skid Row in L.A. and many other cities is worse than ever. The number of homeless and their conditions, and then not to mention all the suicides and despondent people. But yeah, being able to cover it up with this digital bread lines, you know, is big for the banksters.
That IQ data out of Rhode Island is frightening, and I came across that right before this show. 22-point drop is from a 98, which, if I'm not mistaken, 100's theoretically the average of your IQ test, right? To 78, from 98 to 78 in cohorts. And they must only be able to measure the youngest of children who were born in 2020 at this point, but the IQ test is administered early in life. 22-point drop, Ben. If that's the result of the alpha variant sweeping through asymptomatically most of the United States in early 2020, that's a devastating outcome. It's frightening. And we have to watch to see if more studies show up like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's very scary. That's such a devastating number that if that continued on with that generation and subsequent generations, it'd be the death of the human race. I mean, you think the average person's stupid now and in a trance, 78,
maybe
literally
just
you
Americans,
are in a stupor.
Then.
Well, that's a good point.
Why not just maybe just Americans, right? It could have been targeted bioweapon.
Yeah, well, I meant more the Western world in general.
We don't even know about yet.
Yeah, yeah, the Western world in general, and specifically, I mean, once we see the vaccination, this doesn't even include the what potential vaccination issues there could be. But this, not all that, only just the vaccine or the virus itself, but people staying inside all the time. The mother being confined in the last, you know, trimester or two, being quarantined and eating worse food or always being inside, not getting sunshine, not getting exercise, the fear and anxiety, all those different things could also contribute to that. You know, I don't have a doctorate in this, but I did do some schooling in not just economics, but behavioral economics and sociology, psychology, and all those different variables make a difference. They're going to have to do a lot more studying, but from what I'm seeing from this article, at least, this is a horrible, horrible sign.
Yeah, we categorize it under soft kill depopulation. If you're taking that much of an IQ off of a generation, we gotta just hope that's a real anomaly, that further studies don't show anything like that. Although it does tend to make you believe that there'll be studies that'll probably be censored at some point showing massive declines. And what does that mean for society? It's super dangerous, super, super dangerous, and so demoralizing. It makes withdrawing from Afghanistan in disarray not even close to a loss if you suffer a generation or permanent, you know, damage to the neurological citizens of a nation's, you know, the population of a nation state. If that's too dystopic, that you got to be an ostrich, just stick your head into the sand and say, couldn't possibly be that that has happened, then you sound to me like the same, you know, type of voter who's vulnerable to that kind of attack.
You know, it's dystopic. What about 20, 25 years from now, Elon Musk or someone similar has their Neuralink, and it's particularly useful for these lower IQ damaged folks. Hey, just get a interface with a computer and we can help deal with it. They're already working on that for autistic people, and these issues, you know, health issues happen, but this is not a health issue. This looks like systemic destruction of future generations and quite frankly beyond eugenics, just killing off everybody and making everyone dumb. So hey, problem. Reaction, solution. So I can see them turn this into cybernetics now to fix this issue. I don't know. Going a little bit down a tangent, but
yeah, if you want to bring in the dialectic, you could apply it to a lot of things right now.
Yeah, but,
certainly happening at a rapid pace. Society moves from one consensus to another. All the factions of society, I should say, because it's fractured. We're only in one of the factions that have a worldview, of course, right? But the dialectic in each of them moving pretty fast. And the next, this decade is if it survives out of major war, major catastrophe, it's going to be, you know, everybody pointing back at Patriot Power Hour and saying, look at those guys talking about nothing that came of anything. But
I hope so.
Looking from present day, yeah, I do too. Forward looking from present day, there's a lot of justification to be concerned.
Definitely. Really, there always is a reason to be concerned and a reason to prep. From when our ancestors were on the African safari looking for lions trying to kill us. Yeah, you could say it's paranoia, or you could say it's prudent. It's a spectrum here. I just feel like it's very natural to try to be prepared and understand what's going on. But that's kind of been stripped away by the domestication of the Western world in general, but obviously specifically America, because we live here and kind of America's been at the forefront of the attack, because, you know, take out the strongest first, right? And the rest will follow. So, all right. Well, we only got a couple of minutes here. We got to make way. Any other articles or comments you really, you know, we got to hit on, whether it's the earthquake in Haiti or stuff with China and Taiwan, or geez, there's so many other items too. You know, anything else? Got a couple minutes.
The DHS is thoroughly politicized. Whoever's writing extremist terror warning reports about people who are critical of the vaccine and the origin story of COVID and question the vote integrity of 2020 are terrorists. I mean, seems like that those brushes are so broad that they're meaningless. And but it is a precedent, right? We're talking exactly about things that the Homeland Security Department's defining as potentially violent extremist material. So, at a certain point, if that tilts into tyranny, we're all going to see it up front and personal, because we're not going to stop talking about it on Patriot Power. Not a single week are we going to miss an opportunity to do that unless we let everyone know ahead of time. So we're going strong now. It's going to go straight into September, right, Ben?
Oh, yeah. We're not planning to take any time off between now and, geez, at least till the end of the season, which would be the last week of September or so. But even with that, we may not really take much time off all the way till the end of the year. Maybe, I know our four-year anniversary will be in November. I don't expect to take many episodes off between now and then. And again, if and when stuff really starts to hit the fan, I'll be doing some special reports and maybe some daily audio rants like the NBC guy. All right. Well, my man, another good show in the books. You know, a lot of crazy stuff going on. Where can listeners reach out to you, maybe either find your work, send a note to you? I love when listeners reach out.
It's at Future Danger 6, and I just want to say to all Afghan veterans, it wasn't for vain imposing a Republican form of government in Central Asia was noble but impossible, and it's not like losing to the communists in Vietnam. And for those vets still alive from Vietnam, that was not in vain either. That those collectivists, those degenerates and those tyrants abroad need to be fought, and stand proud tonight. That's my message to them.
Well said, well said. Yeah, don't fall into the trap. I think part of this is to humiliate veterans and just the U.S. military and U.S. in general. So, Biden and Obama administration love to try to do that. So don't fall into their trap, and definitely keep your head up. I like that. Folks, you can reach out to me at Bankster Breaker, at Bankster Breaker. Episode 150 in the bag. Future Dan, I'll see you next week, all right?
Catch you next week, Ben. Good show.
Good show, good show.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show, and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.